I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and a very warm welcome once again to all friends and visitors, including my special friends from London, the family right here in front, whom I've known for some 50 years and not seen for about the same time. It is good to meet together in the Lord in peace. And never you underestimate God's blessings. For these days of peace are not for always. And when it comes, the day of great peril and turmoil, may thou recall how good our God is. Now this week, the study of God's Word in 2 Corinthians goes on according to our schedule to chapter 4. I pray that you will all make it a habit to read ahead and to meditate. Don't just come here with a kind of passive idea to listen. But if you read first, pray, the Lord is going to give you much greater profit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There are just 3 verses for our meditation. As we follow the Apostle Paul in his missionary trips and in his missionary endeavors, understand that there's no greater disciple and missionary than the Apostle Paul. And this letter written to the Corinthian church has precious lessons that never grow old. Do you know that? The letter was written some 2,000 years ago, but the lessons are ever fresh. Verse 5 of chapter 4 of the second book of Corinthians. All right, get your places correct, please. Now listen. Verse 5. Here the apostle says, we preach not ourselves. Paul is not preaching to people and telling them how great a man he is. Although he was a very great man, please understand. Paul was the greatest scholar in his day, much better educated than most of us, and proficient in languages. And above all, the inspiration of God given to him directly. Now what does he say? We preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And we are only servants for Jesus' sake. We come here as his servants. So do I, and so do we, all of us. We who know the Lord must acknowledge and thank him. You know that he is so glad to use you as a servant, are you? Do you know that? That through every believer, the gospel may spread to others who are outside the kingdom. Have pity on them, to know that they who do not know the Savior are still lost in darkness with nothing to hope for. Next, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, or shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How can we know God? And that God is a most powerful and glorious God. How do we know him? Have you seen him? Have you heard about him? This verse tells us it is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Emmanuel, God made flesh, come to reveal us the character and nature of God. And we behold him. Behold whom? Jesus, who is the express representation of God to us, that we may know God through him. This is what this verse says. Now we have The key verse of today, now lesson for today, is verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. I read this again so that you will never forget. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Who are the earthen vessels? Who are they? Answer, you and me. You are sitting there just an earthen vessel. A vessel meaning a receptacle. Something to receive something. And there you sit. You're no more than an earthen vessel made of clay. Do you remember how we were made? Not what the evolutionists say, we evolved from amoeba and came down from the trees 500 million years ago and lost the tail. That kind of fantasy, please understand. And that is called evolutionary theory. No, we come to basics and facts. How can you know where we came from? Answer is, thank God, the Creator Himself tells us. And what better source of information? Don't go to the PhDs today. Pretend to be great, knowledgeable people, knowledgeable, full of knowledge of rubbish. And they tell us, we all evolved when? Please understand, the earth's history is some thousands of years only. We do not know the precise date. That is not important. But we must not exaggerate and pretend to know and say it was 3.5 billion years ago. Let me ask those so-called evolutionary experts. Were you there? 3.5 billion years ago. You are just 60 or 50 years old. And you talk of things billions of years. Do you know what it means to be a billion years old? We cannot understand those things. So, we read verse 7 again. Then you understand. We have this treasure. What is treasure? In earthen vessels. I had lunch the other day, and the friend who invited me for lunch took out a little piece of clay-like looking receptacle. I wondered, that ugly-looking clay-like thing, what it is all about. And she brought out a torch and put it into the thing which looks like a cup and switch on the torch. Then you see the clay is actually an old kind of jade. And through the clay came windows of light. Amazing, amazing. That earthen treasure is unknown. You say it's rubbish, you throw it away. But when you put the light through, it's so wonderful. And you say it is worth priceless justice. So here we are. Now imagine yourself. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are the earthen vessels, all of us. But in us there is a treasure. Perhaps not in all. I hope all. And I pray that all of us have this treasure. But in case you do not have, resolve even now to have this treasure in your earthen vessel. For without this treasure, your earthen vessel is really worth nothing. Now read through. Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. All of us who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in Him, received Him into your heart, acknowledge Him as your Lord and Savior, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, who took my place, bore my sins, died my death, rose for me, ascended to heaven for me. This is gospel. Nothing more and nothing less. And this is the treasure that we have. Nothing else. You come to church not to know people, although we know a lot of good people, God's people. But that is not our primary purpose. What is your primary purpose? That you may know the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing Him, know God, and knowing Him, receive God's way of salvation, no other way. It's not to be good, and to do charitable works, and to go and help the earthquake victims, as some people do. Nothing wrong with that, please. Nothing wrong. Please go. Help them. It is good. However, the crux and the heart of the whole message is, do you have this treasure in earthen vessels? Do you have? For unless and until you have that treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ, plain and simple, not sophisticated, not disguised today, unless you have Him as your Savior, the treasure that God gives to us into your heart, you have nothing. You may own a lot of property. You may have a lot of money in the bank. You may have great power, financial and commercial and other powers at your control, feeling very good. You name it, you have it. That's good, isn't it? Of course. What's wrong with that? Ah, my friends, that is not the primary acquisition. Not the primary. The first thing you must have, whether you have more or less, or much or little, whether you are well educated or not well educated, the most important thing is, verse 7, you must have this treasure in earthen vessels. Your body is but an earthen vessel. The moment you stop breathing, within 10 minutes, your body becomes cool. After a while, it becomes cold. And then it becomes stiff. Then it becomes smelly. And then you say, got to bury. That's right. That's what we are worth. Earthen vessels and no more. All because we were made from earth. And the word of God says, dust thou art, to dust thou returnest. There is no other way. Now let me ask you, do you have this treasure? You say, I have got so much in my bank account. I feel pretty good. I carry 4 or 5 credit cards, all good credit. What else do you want? I drive in a Lexus, or I drive in a good Toyota, or better still, I have BMW, Mercedes. I live in a super apartment. I got everything I have. But, dear friends, I ask you one thing. Do you have the treasure that we talk about that makes your earthen vessel glorious? Assured that if I should breathe my last, I know where I am going. I know what I have. Do you? Now, back to some basic things. I opened this morning's message with some comments. You go to society. You send your children to school. And they go to primary school, some university. In every place you go to today, it is assumed by the intelligent people, we all came by evolution. Do you know that? If you don't know, I'm informing you. You say, well, even the churches, they tell me, the churches, majority of churches do not understand the treasure in earthen vessels anymore. All they have is a kind of watered down gospel, perverted gospel, corrupted gospel. And they say, we don't believe really in evolution. We believe in theistic evolution. God used evolution. And therefore, we are okay. We believe in the evolution of the better kind. Theistic, godly evolution. I say, that is devilish doctrine. Either God made or He did not make. And what God made was not in 3 billion years, was in 6 days. Now then, we have treasure in earthen vessels by coming to this church. We assure you, this church and this pulpit will always declare only the treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure. What is the treasure? The knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing more. Nothing less. So, dear friends, in order to help us understand better, I have here some my favorite weapon called OHB. Because I live in an old era. Whereas all the young people, PowerPoints, wow, they're good. But here is something better. Old wine tastes better. I don't know what wine is, but I know it's said to be better. While we say we have an earthen vessel, that earthen vessel is not that simple as Darwin thought. If amoeba and those simple things came by in the dirt and the muck of the pond, everywhere you can take a drop of water and see hundreds and thousands of moving things. So, Darwin thought life is so easy, so simple. They just come by spontaneous generation. You know what is spontaneous? By itself, in the primeval pool, came out life and became one cell. The first primeval primitive life was amoeba. Now, if that is one cell, do you know how many cells you have that make up your body? How many cells? Guess. 100 million times million again. That's how many cells we have. 100 million million. I'm telling you by authority of the technologists, not my idea. And these are the evolutionists who tell us. Now, let me tell you, the cell is not simple. As David the psalmist says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I cannot understand it. How that one cell becomes 100 million cells, that you today can drive a Mercedes and come around and come to church and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I say the cell is not simple. Very wonderful thing. Who created the cell? Who made us on the sixth day? Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus. This is the cell. Did you know the cell looks so complicated? And the cell is like a city with a city wall. And it's got a headquarters in the center called the nucleus. And this nucleus controls the cell. Inside the center there is the nucleus. It controls. And that nucleus contains a substance called DNA. What is DNA? Don't know anything. Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's so difficult. So you just say DNA, then you are the expert. So this DNA controls the rest of the cell. This cell is like a city fortified with a wall. This is the wall. That is the wall. And power stations and food factories and transportation channels like the super highways for food to travel in and out. And that wall ensures only materials that are beneficial to the cell enter. And nothing else. That is the work of the city wall. That is the cell. Now, how many cells do you have? I've told you this morning, 100 million times million. 100 million million. Do you know that? So in case you don't know, I ask you again. Do you know the DNA in the cell nucleus has genetic information, how is it from one cell fertilized when father and mother begot you, that one cell became 100 million, million cells? That, take, for example, your eye, just for example. How come there's a lens and there's a retina and there's a globe of the eye and the eyelash glows only on the eyelid and doesn't grow into your eye? How come? Every cell that comes from this one cell, this is one cell, every cell grows from that one cell. And it grows in 100 million, million cells. Every cell follows instructions encoded in the DNA. Don't know anything, know everything. Now, here it is. The DNA in the cell nucleus has genetic information. I should change the word to instruction. Direction to the, every cell, what you must do when you grow. How do you grow? How does a baby grow? In the tummy of the mother. We call it the uterus. And that genetic instruction can fill 1,000 books of 1,000 pages, each book, and each page containing 3,000 words. Now, this is from the evolutionists. Atheists, they tell us. They believe this because it is there for them to see. So, do you know? Now you know. All of us came from one cell. How come? That's why David says, I was, he says of himself, fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, verses 14 to 16. So here we are. Paul says, all I'm concerned is to give to you the treasure. What treasure are you looking for? Education? Investment? Some business project? All those will earn you something good. Nothing bad. Nothing bad to have money, you know. I wish I had more. So do we. It's natural. Why not? Money and currency is to help us live this life more comfortably. But then your life is not going to last forever. This world does not last forever. As far as you and I are concerned, the psalmist says 70 years and 10 is about right. 70. 80, maybe slightly better. More trouble and more sorrow. 80. I'm 86. So, accumulating more worries and more troubles. And so, what is the end point? What do you need? Treasure in earthen vessels. This is what we need. And you answer, you ask, hey, what are the 1,000 books, 1,000 pages each? What do they contain? This is what they contain. This is the DNA. You don't know anything, it is here. Enlarged by the technologists. And this is amazing. Every little protein contains instruction on what to do at the next stage of gestation. Gestation meaning when you were in your mother's tummy for 9 months, you started with one cell, you come out bouncing, crying, active breathing. How come? Because all these DNA molecules contain instruction how to develop, how not to grow eyelash into the eye itself, just on the eyelid, and how to give you the eye that sees and all the other parts of your body. Amazing. This is the vessel of clay. Do you know that your body has 100 million, million cells? No, the repetition is important for you not to forget. Otherwise, you say, 100 billion. I didn't say billion, I said million. 100 million cells. All right? Please remember. So David, the psalmist, how did he know? 3,000 years. Did David have a microscope that he can see? No. He had the spiritual microscope God sent to him. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write. Write, David, you are a little shepherd boy. But God inspired him and gave him that knowledge so that he could write. He says, I will praise thee, my Creator, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I say, every newborn child, if that newborn child could speak or cry out, would say this, I will praise thee, O Creator. Before that child gets all the evolution, the rubbish into the mind, every child born out crying will cry forth the message, I am a product of God's amazing creation, fearfully, wonderfully made, and that my soul knows full well. So you see, the evidence of creation is everywhere. Inviolable law of science, for where there is structure and design, there must be an organizer, a designer, an engineer. Will men acknowledge this engineer and designer? Do they? No. They call it evolution. Evolution simply says, no God. No God, we're not interested in God today. So this is what we have. But I thank thee, O Father, and I thank you all for coming. Every Sunday, what do you come here for? We don't give you a lot of money or whatever comforts to enjoy. No, only one thing. Every Sunday, the Word of God. The treasure that goes into every earthen vessel that doesn't change. We have a Creator. Is the best knowledge you can ever have. To know Him, to acknowledge Him. Today, so many churches preach another gospel. A nice sounding gospel. Enjoyable gospel. Connected to the world. Related to the needs of the world. Very much so. So once they meet, 20,000, 30,000 come. Is there gospel? Is there treasure for earthen vessels? This is what all we are concerned with today. So, that's the last OHP for this morning. Don't forget. Ear gate, eye gate. Two channels of information. The gospel of Jesus Christ is just simply treasure in earthen vessels, and that's God's power to give you life. Do you know this, dear friends? Now we will look into these three verses once more. Then we go to another verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We in Calvary Pandan Bible Presbyterian Church, Pastor Quek and myself and all our session have only one message. Only one. He says, same old story every week. I say, Amen. Because there's no other story. What story? One story only. Christ Jesus, Son of God, came to this earth for our sakes. To be one of us. To understand our griefs. And bear our sorrows. And die our death in our place. No other story. Only one. Verse 5. We preach not ourselves. Christ Jesus, the Lord, is the subject of our preaching every Sunday. We'll never get tired of it. When we get to heaven, day in, day out. By the way, there's no night there. Day in, day out. We have only one song of praise we'll be singing, and we never get tired because we are in a different environment. We shall be transformed. And day in, day in, day out, what do? Praise the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That is the treasure in earthen vessels. Do you have it? Coming to church is good, but sitting there and not absorbing the message, you are deficient. You need the treasure, I say to some of you here who have never taken the step to say, Lord Jesus, I recognize my absolute bankruptcy, my dire need for you, for I am only an earthen vessel. When I breathe my last within a few minutes, I'm gone. Within the few hours, I smell, and then I rot. Is there something beyond that? I say, yes. Dear friends, that treasure in earthen vessels ensures you, firstly, life everlasting, a place in the dwelling place of God in heaven. You have a place. Who says so? The one who came from there says so, Jesus Christ. He says, believe in me, and you have everlasting life. And you live with God. That's not all. Do you know something most wonderful? This treasure in earthen vessels ensures you not just everlasting life, but a home, and thirdly, a wonderful, everlasting, undying community. Community. Yes. Fellow believers, especially your loved ones who have died already. They are waiting for you. There is no way you can ever meet them except by this treasure in earthen vessels. Now read on. Verse 6. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shine into your hearts to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. There is no other way, not by doing good works, not by going to church often, not by becoming a monk or becoming a full-time servant of God, that those things do not make you a child of God. Only this. So, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, this power is most excellent, because it cannot be taken away from you. It cannot decay. It doesn't change with time. Your ever-ready battery has got power, but after a while it exhausts, it's got no power. Even the nuclear generators in Japan got power, enormous power, until they break down, they have no power. This power is everlasting. No one can take away this power. What power? Power to become the sons of God and to have a place in the inheritance of God. Only this power never diminishes. Now, we read this verse for the last time. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of that power may be of God and not of us. We have no power. Now we close with two verses in the first book of John's epistle. John's epistle is at the very end of the Bible. John 1, John 2, John 3, then Jude, then Revelation. That's the order. Now, 1 John chapter 5. And we will read together two verses. This is about the treasure in earthen vessels. And you ask yourself as we read it, do I have that treasure? Do I really? Yes or no? You know. God knows. Don't bluff yourself. 1 John 5:11-12. And I want us all to read together. 1 John chapter 5. I give you another 10 seconds. And you find it, please. If you don't know, start from Revelation, turn backwards. Revelation, Jude, then 3 John, then 2 John, then 1 John chapter 5. You there now? All right, verse 11 and 12. Together, everybody. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. Question. Do you have the Son of God? He is the treasure in your earthen vessel. You look the same like anyone else. You go to the city. You're just like the rest. Except one thing. In your heart you have the Son of God as your Lord and Savior. He is the power of God unto salvation. He is the guarantee of everlasting life. He is the guarantee that you have a place in heaven when you have breathed your last on earth. You are there, absent from this body, present with the Lord. No other way, only this way. You must have this treasure in earthen vessel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may someone in the audience today find Jesus as Lord and Savior and confess Him with heart and soul, mind and strength, that Jesus, Lord, come into my heart, into my life and change me and be Lord and Master in all my living and speaking and doing. That the name of Jesus be exalted, this treasure in earthen vessels may be made known to others. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.